finish up the lesson or the theme of the whole armor of God in our lesson this evening. So that's the title. I'm not going to read the text again. We read it last week. But just by way of introduction, I put in your note, the Bible gives the illustrations of spiritual warfare. I listed the verses for you in Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says we wrestle. 1 Corinthians 9, so fight I, Paul said, as one that punches, not as one that punches the air. In other words, it's not shadow boxing. 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In 2 Timothy 2, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And Paul in 2 Timothy 4, now ready to be offered, time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. So now Paul presents with those illustrations in mind the whole, a key word, whole armor of God. And so I put in notes all of it, a complete ensemble, 100% of the pieces, the total, put on the armor, put it on. And it's an armor of God, God's armor. And since God has given this essential armor, God has designed it. So therefore, by rightful conclusion, it will accomplish its purpose. We put it on. So let's take a look at each piece of this armor. Number 1 in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. So he begins by saying, stand therefore, and then having that, have your loins girt about. Well, the illustration is the soldier's wrap was like a heavy leather or a metal apron with a wrap around the waist. From the waist down to the knees. It went around the soldier's body, covering front and back. It kind of skirted his midsection, we would say. And that helped to keep the other parts of the armor together. Served to have a function, provided a place where a soldier could carry some of his equipment. It was just like a huge wraparound fanny pack. All fanny packs all the way around. But it provided necessary protection to the soldier's midsection. So now Paul says, I want your loins girt about with truth. In other words, stand your ground with your waist encircled with truth. Have truth support us, that midsection. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth, for through thy truth, thy word is truth. So we need to have God's word, you know, the illustration is wrapped around us. Kind of like a weightlifter's belt, too. You know, God's word will strengthen us, it will support us, and it adds stability to our stance. God's word, the truth. With God's word wrapped around us, he says in this text that we're able to stand against teachers or false doctrine or the world's thinking or the world's preaching. All that Satan is going to throw against us. This gives us stability. Having the truth wrapped around us. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, Spirit speaks expressly. The latter times some shall depart from the faith, and they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies with hypocrisy. So we need something to guard us against the false things that will be thrown against us, that we'll hear, you know, in music or in movies or the media. We need to guard against that. He said in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. I always want to stop there. That's why. Why do I want to preach the word? He says, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul says, I want your midsection, your loins, girt about with truth, with God's word. With that wrapped around us, we have a foundation to live a strong life in Christ Jesus. With that support in our midsection in this illustration, we can live a life of integrity. We can live a life that remains loyal. Having that support first. Number two, having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breast dictionary definition was described as a coat of mail or a metal mesh that covered the chest, back, and shoulders. Like your torso. Said it was made of leather, could be quilted cloth or linen, brass or iron. There were joints in it or between the adjacent armor. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 5, there's a description of Goliath's armor. Say, Goliath of Gath. He has a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, or that metal mesh. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Had to be heavy. 5,000 of anything would be heavy. But now Paul says, in this armor, I want you to have a breastplate of righteousness. Interesting that so much of this armor, or almost every piece of armor, is associated with the Word of God. You can see that I'm trying to put that in your notes, but if I didn't, listen for that. Every piece of armor is tied in with God's Word. Girt about with truth. Well, God's word is truth, number one. And now, breastplate of righteousness. When Psalm 119, verse 172 says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. God's word is righteousness. Our breastplate of righteousness enables us to walk in obeying the word of God. In 1 John 3, verse 7, John says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness, is righteous, even as he is righteous. So we need to put on righteousness as our coat of mail. Breastplate of righteousness. Protects the heart. And Solomon said, keep your heart with all diligence. Grounded in are the issues of life. That's an important piece of armor too. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number three is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another attachment to God's word. The soldier's shoes would enable him to stand or walk and run and keep his balance when they went into battle. Being barefoot in that kind of terrain in Bible times, that would hurt. It wouldn't be convenient. It wouldn't be easy to go into battle barefoot. So the shoes of the soldier were strong, and they went from the sole of the foot to the ankle to the leg. Strap that shoe on, and Paul says, I want your feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, be ready to publish truth, teach it, preach it, practice it wherever you go. Put the gospel of peace on your feet. So don't put on loafers. Slip-ons. And it's not, my the way I look at it, it's not feet shoddy. It's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, the gospel needs to be fastened tightly to our feet. It needs to be secure and almost like nailed on. It needs to be firm, strong, or stable. Your shoes do that for you. And then he says, the preparation. I want to develop a firm and unwavering stand in the gospel. Our shoes I mean, I want to prepare myself to go with the gospel. I want to prepare to teach and to learn and to go. And we stress Bible study because it's part of God's armor. We don't diminish the importance of Bible study or Bible reading. And again, I'm always thinking when this kind of topic comes up or this text of like this, that what Clarence said, you know, I read the newspaper, but I study the Bible. Do I see the difference? I read the newspaper, but I study the Bible. I want my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the gospel, that there's our word of God. It's good news for salvation. In Romans 10:15, Paul said, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's the phrase in the armor. And bring glad tidings of good things. Paul said when he identifies the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, and wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. I want my feet, what I stand on spiritually, is the gospel. Truth. The gospel of peace. The gospel brings reconciliation for those who are not with God to God. It's a gospel of peace. Then number four, and taking the shield of faith. You take the shield that faith provides. The shield of the soldier many times was measured 2 feet by 4 feet. You know, held on the arm, used to protect the entire body. Take the shield of faith for entire protection. Soldiers many times would stand side by side so they could place their shields together and be like forming a wall and be safe from the enemy's arrows. You ever wonder why we promote Bible study and worship assembly? One reason is in this text, so we can stand side by side with our shield of faith. And you're beside me, and I'm beside you, and so on down the line. We put our shields in front of us, and we have this huge barricade or block from the world's temptations and whatever it throws at us. We have a wall of faith when we assemble together. You put on take the shield of faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing, and here's our phrase, the Word of God. Back to the Word of God again. Our faith gives expression and conviction in daily living. Our faith is to be visible as a shield. Our faith is again based on God's Word. It determines our attitude, determines our actions when things are being thrown at us. Our faith. So the song then is led right before the lesson. Living by faith. Number five, take the helmet of salvation. Well, you can reverse it. Take salvation for a helmet. Soldier's helmet was a cap, and the dictionary says, made of thick leather and bronze or brass. It covered the head and the cheeks. So naturally, an intelligent soldier would want to cover the source of his intelligence. I'm going to cover the source of I'm going to cover my mind. Well, Paul said, take the helmet of salvation. In other words, have the blessed assurance of salvation. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. Study again. Use our minds and protect it. Protect it. Keep your spiritual life protected by Bible study or Bible classes. And exhorting one another. Friendship and fellowship. Find opportunity to enjoy one another. The helmet of salvation. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Grow thereby. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 that we want to seek things that are above and set our affections on things that are above. Yeah, so It all begins with the mind. So protect the mind. Your intelligence. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation. It's our hope. It's our hope. Number six, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. The soldier's sword was used for offense and defense. But he says the sword of the Spirit in this text is the Word of God. Well, back to the Word of God again. Remember, every piece seems to have a tie to God's Word. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus met every temptation with, "It's written." It's written. I want to have knowledge of God's Word. I want to know what God says. In Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Your Word. Its ability. What it can do. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, "The Word of God is quick," or meaning living, "sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joint thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, God's Word is inspired, but profitable for four things: for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Take the sword of the Spirit. You want protection, offense, and defense? That God's Word gives me doctrine, reproves me, corrects me, instructs me. I want to put that on. I want to be sure I have the sword. The last one, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. When I read this verse, I think I have a sermon titled, I have to find it, "The Four Alls of Prayer." Praying, number one, always, using all prayer, in all, with all perseverance, for all the saints. Four alls of prayer. First one, praying always. Well, we know that, don't we? In other words, don't stop. That's easy. So easy. In all conditions, praying always, in all circumstances, all occasions. It can be different, you know, in all prayer, the different kinds of prayer. And you get this public prayer, private prayer, every kind of prayer, prayers of thanksgiving, supplication, intercession. You pray for one another. Kinds of prayer. Just as we mentioned, you know, we pray in our worship assembly. There's kinds of prayer, in a sense. You know, the one that when Jim, he's the one who gives the announcements in our morning assembly, and then he opens with prayer. It's a prayer that opens the assembly. God, help us to focus on You as we give You our worship today. In Jesus' name, amen. The one that might be included the announcements. After a couple, someone else prays. And he may pray for those that were mentioned in the announcements. Or those who are traveling, those who are ill, those who are experiencing bereavement. Father God, we pray for this in our assembly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When it's time for the Lord's Supper, the prayer focuses on the bread, not on the weather, not on the travelers, or anything else. It's a focused prayer. It's a kind of prayer that's it's designed to set our minds on the sacrifice, the bodily sacrifice that Jesus made. Then we come to the cup, and so now we thank You for the bloody sacrifice You made. Comes time for the offering, Father God, we pray that these funds will be used in Your service and bless the men the people that direct these funds. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've already had these prayers. If someone responds, then we have an intercessory prayer. And we pray, Father, this person comes in a penitent manner. We pray for their forgiveness as they prayed. And we pray You'll bless us with the ability to give them strength or encouragement. How many prayers we already had in the worship center?
All of them.
All prayer. All prayer. You see, there's kinds of prayer. Then it's time for dismissal. We've already had almost about six different prayers and kinds of prayer. We've opened the assembly. We've prayed for one another. We've had specific designed prayer for the communion. We've prayed for those who responded. And now, Father, we've concluded our worship assembly. Give a safe journey home in Jesus' name. The closing prayer. That's all I want to hear. Give us safe. Thank you for this opportunity we've had for assembly. Give us a safe journey home in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll get off on that. Okay. I have a sermon on kinds of prayer. All right. So now praying all ways, all prayer, and all perseverance and supplication. That's easy when times are tough. You know, when you don't feel like praying, it's time to pray. When seemingly hope is lost, can't see my way out of the situation I'm in, don't let anything hinder prayer. Prayer. All perseverance and supplication. In other words, prayer supplication is asking, God help me. Get me through this. And for all the saints. So in Paul's letters, many times, he lets them know that he's praying for them and he appreciates their prayers for him. It's interesting not to make the application here to the armor. No soldier entering battle fights for himself alone. That soldier doesn't fight just for himself, but for the fellow soldiers. Those around. We as a congregation form one army, in a sense. We have a common cause. Each of us must pray and fight for all. For one another. And then he says, adds, and watching. For all these prayers, always, all prayer, all perseverance for all the saints. For all the prayer. And watching. There's a sense in that we ought to pray with eyes wide open. Be alert. Jesus said in the garden, it comes back to the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's right. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. In Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you. And then the last one, we'll close in the verse, in verse 18. He says, and for me. Pray for me. I always appreciate hearing my name in prayer. For the one who's about to give the lesson. Appreciate that. But he says, pray for me. And he says, this is what I want you to pray for. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, prayers are many times kind. There's a time to be specific in prayer. To leave everything else out and focus on the mission at hand. I know many times a preacher will get up and he'll begin, before he begins his lesson, he'll say, even though there's already been prayers for him, but he'll say, I want to lead us in prayer before I begin my lesson. And it's a very specific request. God bless me. And typically it may include a phrase like this, bless me with the ability to open my mouth boldly and make known the gospel to the audience here. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't take long. So I guess the lesson is report for duty. Put on the Christians on report for duty. That's the lesson. Next week, Lord willing, on Sunday night, I think I'll have another lesson on Thanksgiving on Sunday morning, but Sunday night I've been working on a lesson on the eternal God. Characteristics or attributes of God for next Sunday night, Lord willing. I don't have it finished yet, so we'll see. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of song of invitation, exhortation. If you're subject to that, you know, we're asking you to respond while we're singing this song. We sing that song to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God. If you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, this provides another opportunity, and we are here to rejoice with you in that decision. So we give this time a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And if there's one here that needs to respond in a public way in that manner, just simply come while we're singing this song and let your request be known at the close of the song. So let's stand together. Then we'll make you sing this song of encouragement.